Okay. Well, thanks for attending my session. This is a massive room, actually, a giant big screen, so I'm sure everybody's going to be able to see everything all right today. My name's Gordon McKenna. I'm actually a System Center Cloud and Data Center Manager, almost got that in one sentence, MVP for Microsoft. So I've been an MVP for about 9 years now, so I really kind of live, breathe, sleep, eat this stuff, much to my wife and family's annoyance. I'm also CEO with a Microsoft Gold Systems Management and Virtualization partner in the UK called Infomon. So I not only talk about the Kool-Aid, I go out and live and breathe it on a day-to-day basis. Now, Infomon are a system center specialist, so we just do system center, but we have a bit of a twist on that. We do system center with BI. Now, I've always kind of found that Microsoft have this great set of management tools over here in the system center arena, and then we have these fantastic set of BI tools over in the SQL SharePoint arena, but kind of never really in the past kind of made that junction between the two platforms. So what we kind of do is go out to customers and we actually sell them System Center with BI. So this session is kind of around some of our experiences today, and it's entitled Effective Capacity Planning of Your Infrastructure Resources. I've found in my experience in trying to kind of sell services and software to customers that iCandy is a really good way to kind of win you money for projects. You know, executives love it. It tends to be those executives that are kind of paying the money. And it's normally the kind of executives that are screaming and shouting when, you know, things are going wrong and because they've got no visibility. So I'm going to try and show you this today, how you can take System Center, a bit of an echo on there, how you can take System Center and you can take some of the BI tools in the Microsoft stack and you can build out kind of scorecard solutions for your environment. Now, we will start off fairly high level. So you hardcore dev level folks and SQL folks that are kind of want to dive deep into kind of the data warehouse, do bear with me because we're going to talk about operations manager to start with, and then we're going to dive a little bit later into Visual Studio and SharePoint. So depending on which way you sway, you can either leave at the beginning, come back later, or leave halfway through. I am going to try and kind of show you as much as I can in the time I've got how we kind of can put together a solution for your particular environment. Oh, hang on a minute. So what's going on here? Now this is why you should always switch off link when you're presenting at TechEd. Let me just. Hello, boss. No, oh, can't hear him. Let me just pause that for a second. I've got no audio, guys. Right, let me try that again. That wasn't the best start, was it? And let me just check. Now, somebody, if I had a T-shirt, that person that identified that would have seen that. That kind of spoilt the moment a bit for me there, didn't it, really? Let me go again. So it's my fault, not yours, by the way. So what's going on here, then? So that's my boss ringing up. And why you should always put your laptop in a presentation mode. Hello, boss.
Hello, Gordon.
Hi, how you doing?
Yes, I'm fine. I need to speak to you urgently.
Well, do you know what? I'm just right in the middle of a TechEd presentation. Can it wait till later?
No, it can't wait. If you want to keep this job, you better take this call right now.
Okay, all right. Well, you'll have to excuse me, guys, while I just deal with this.
Problem is, we've got customers queuing up into the service desk with problems with the network slowdown,
grumpy,
applications not responding, capacity issues, server filling up. We need to sort it out now.
Okay, sir. Well, I can see what I can do. Maybe look in Ops Manager after we finish the break, see what's going on with the servers.
Well, absolutely, you need to see what you can do. All those nines, I need them to be turned into tens. I need to change the 5 nines into 5 tens.
You want 5 tens availability?
Absolutely. Our SLA is rock bottom at the moment, and we need to show a good level of customer service as we promised.
Well, so I did send you a link to the Operational Manager console. I think, you know, there's SLA scorecards in there. There's like 200 reports, I think, out of the box with that. I mean, is that not good enough for you?
Far too many reports for my busy schedule. I need to have this dashboard you promised me once, which give me an overview of our service against the SLA. Where is it?
Okay, well, if the guys don't mind, I'll see if I can build something over the next hour and get it over to you after my presentation. Is that all right?
Yeah, you better.
Okay, all right, thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. So, bit of a fun scenario. You probably guessed that it was not a real link session coming in there. But, you know, just wanted to really show you there. That's a common scenario. How many people kind of have conversations like that with their bosses? Oh, let me just move on to the next one. How many people like that have conversations like that with their bosses? Few people. Yeah, you know, I've been in, you know, in that kind of position before. You know, bosses don't understand what we do, basically, do they? You know, they don't understand all the hard work they put in. They just understand when systems are running slow and aren't being used. And that's kind of really, I wanted to just show that off because that really sets the scene for what we're trying to kind of achieve for this. So the agenda today, very quickly running through, is we're going to do an analysis of the issues. So we're going to see why capacity planning, trending, forecasting is important. We're then going to look at what is capacity planning. So we're going to understand, you know, what does that actually mean? Because it means a lot of things to different people. We're then going to look at the collecting the data. So we're going to break it down into a number of functions. And collecting the data is operations manager. I meet a lot of customers on my day-to-day travels that are about to go out and spend a load of money on a capacity planning solution. And actually all the data that they need to do capacity planning, they already own. It's in the ops manager data warehouse. They just don't have any tools for surfacing that and using that. So we're going to kind of look at how that data sits. We're then going to look at the measuring and the publishing of the data. So we're going to do a deep dive into the operations manager data warehouse, well, a fairly deep dive. And then we're going to look at SQL Server analysis services. And the new version, the 2012 version, has some great tools in around forecasting, you know, as well as the traditional type analysis tools. We're then going to look at the publishing element, and we're going to look at Ops Manager dashboards, and we're also going to look at performance point services. So we're going to look at SharePoint 2013 and performance point services and how you can kind of use that to display the data. And then, you know, for those of you who really can't be bothered building all that from scratch, I'm going to actually show you at the end a couple of third-party solutions that you might want to go and look at if you've got the money and rather than build it from scratch, kind of get some out-of-the-box type stuff. So that's kind of that's cut the agenda today. So let's jump straight in. Let's take a look at the analysis of the issues. If you look at, most organizations, they don't actually have a capacity planning function. You know, most organizations I meet do reactive type capacity planning, i.e., you know, my server's running out of memory, add more memory, my mailbox is running out of space, so add more space to it. So they don't actually do that kind of predictive into the future type thing. You know, they can't measure, predict, or scorecard future performance. And if you look at that issue that I had with my boss there, if he had a way of being able to score, you know, scorecard that he could look at, I wouldn't have been having that conversation with him because he'd have been able to go to that scorecard. And because most organizations don't have these things in place, there's no fact-based investment decisions. I love that. You know, I meet people and they're talking about things and I say, yeah, but is that a fact-based decision that you're making, or is that just based on what you kind of think or what you're kind of feeling? And this leads to two major things in most organizations when they're doing their planning. It leads to budget overruns, you know, where actually they put too much budget into it, or too much money into a budget for a particular project, and it overruns, and they're left with money, and then questions are asked why money was allocated, or budget underruns, where actually, you know, there's not enough money put into projects over a period of time to make the, you know, make sure that project is delivered correctly. Now, if we look at capacity planning, how many people in here implement the MOF, Microsoft Operations Framework, in their business? Wow, what was that? Two or three, I think, in the room. So how many people implement ITIL? Right, okay. That's pretty much about another 60, 70% of the room. So, and for those who are not familiar with MOF, kind of MOF is kind of Microsoft's, well, I like to think it's Microsoft's kind of interpretation of the ITIL. It's kind of a more simplified version of ITIL that applies against Microsoft software. But, you know, ITIL, like you guys, ITIL is the most common one that I work with out in the field as well. And, you know, the capacity plan, basically, there's three types of capacity planning that you can do. We have business capacity planning, service capacity planning, and component-based capacity planning. Now, the business-based capacity planning is basically where the business is making decisions based on changes that are going on in the business. So, you know, it might be mergers, acquisitions that are occurring, and that's where you have to understand how the business is evolving over a period of time and what impact that is going to have on your capacity planning function. Our service capacity planning function is where we're kind of looking at things from a more holistic point of view. We're looking at services like messaging, like finance, and we're kind of monitoring those services end to end, and we're understanding how, you know, adding another 3,000 users to Exchange is going to impact that over a period of time. And the final one is component capacity planning. That's where we're looking at the individual elements like disk, CPU, memory, metrics. And all these come together, actually, to form the basis and the foundation stones for our capacity planning exercise that we do. So, you know, a couple of key questions that you need to be asking yourself when you're kind of laying down your capacity planning framework. So, you know, what's the future direction of the business? You know, is the business planning on shrinking, growing? You know, what are the plans for IT for growth? Are the mergers and acquisitions that are going to affect that capacity? You know, peak business hours. You know, for example, if you have a sales organization, it might be that at the end of each quarter, you know, a lot of sales organizations, there's an increase in usage on a particular sales system. So, you know, you need to be able to kind of understand that element as well. And also when there's troughs in that element, you know, and those kind of things trend themselves quite good for looking at things, for example, like cloud computing, either private or public. Also as well, what historical trends can we analyze to evaluate current capacity? You know, what can we use, how can we model against various types of scenarios that we've got already in the organization? And finally, you know, how can we meet the capacity predictions of the organization in the simplest, most cost-effective way? And, you know, if you want to read a little bit more on this and you're interested in kind of putting down those foundations for capacity planning, definitely recommend you take a look, because, you know, some of the elements that we've got here are taken directly from that MOF V4 handbook around capacity planning. That's Microsoft.com/MOF. So let's just quickly talk about a couple of capacity planning strategies. So we have a lead strategy. So this is a common one that I run into when I'm kind of working with people around capacity planning. And that's around guesstimates and what ifs. And that is more common than you think out in the field with people. So, you know, that's probably the worst way that you can do capacity planning. You know, I think for 3,000 years, in fact, a gentleman came up to me at the beginning and we were having a capacity conversation actually about operations manager on virtual and whether he should put SQL on virtual. And, the guesstimates and what ifs is, it, you know, I think that we're going to have, for these 5,000 users, we're probably going to need some pretty big servers, 32 gig. We'll just rack them up. And, you know, I reckon that'll cover the capacity for the rest of the year. Now, it's amazing how many people still do capacity planning like that, you know. But, you know, it's not an effective way. And particularly with this, again, this kind of evolution that we're making, where we're looking at optimum applications running either on private or public cloud, you know, that's definitely a strategy which is going to be a thing of the past. So lag strategy. Now, this is actually the most common one that I see. And a lag strategy is when you react to changes. And again, I think I mentioned at the beginning, if I have my Exchange databases running out of space or my users complaining about mailboxes running slow, I add capacity to that particular function. Now, the one we're going to talk about today and the most effective one is the match strategy, where we actually look at things like forecasting and trending, and we try to understand, you know, how we can predict what it'll be. So what if scenarios, you know, if I add 2,000 users for this, what is the point that it's going to break? So a couple of slides here before we get into some demos around the management challenge. Well, you know, the management challenge today is as bad as it was, you know, when I first started in IT, and in fact getting more difficult, because we live in an environment of intranets, extranets. We have public cloud, private cloud, virtual desktops, real desktops, you know, and we have 24/7 computing. You know, users want to have access to applications and resources 24 hours a day. So it's even more difficult to be able to grab the data and make that kind of analysis that we need to today as well. And, you know, service components are becoming more complicated. You know, we we no longer live in a world where it's just simple front end, middle tier and back end. You know, these could be across multiple data centers, across multiple physical locations. We've now got the onset of kind of hybrid cloud. So we might have some of that application in our own data center. Some of it might be, you know, in a public data center. There might be multiple public cloud providers that we're having to deal with. So how do we kind of deal and manage and project and manage all those systems? So it's a complicated old world that we live in with this. So why operations manager? Well, why? Because I think it's great. But that's really not good enough for you just because I think it's great. So, you know, why is operations manager the perfect tool for collecting the data? So it's, you know, a proactive monitoring framework that spans applications, servers and network devices. That's kind of how I sum it up in a sentence when I talk to customers. It provides faster problem resolution than you can do by going and looking in event logs and looking at performance counters yourself. It has a very good architecture that deploys itself very well to large-scale, heterogeneous, hybrid and public cloud environment. For example, there's agents now that work not only on the Windows platform, work on SUSE, Red Hat, and a host of other non-Windows platforms. From a cloud point of view, there's an Azure management pack if you've got stuff in Azure. There's also just released recently an Amazon Web Services management pack if you've got stuff in Amazon. So it really has got a lot of tools to be able to kind of span out and touch in all of those complicated environments that you've got. It's got distributed applications that allow you to kind of build out your services, and we're going to look at this in a second. Synthetic transactions that simulate the user logging on. I use this really powerfully in a lot of customer environments. That's where I simulate my users logging onto an application and then I replay it back multiple times. And I can kind of start to see trends and I can understand which particular locations are having problems, for example. There's network device management now with 2012, so I can actually bring all my network devices in as well as my servers and start to understand the complete picture across the layer as well as storage. Service level tracking built into Operations Manager. So we're going to look, when we kind of look at the data warehouse, at how we can use service level tracking in Operations Manager to actually drive service level tracking reports and capacity planning. There's inbuilt supports, there's service level dashboards out of the box, and there's a very good data warehouse with Ops Manager. So a really important thing, if we're going to do capacity planning and we're going to start to use things like SharePoint to visualize data in there, we need a good data warehouse. By default, the Operations Manager data warehouse keeps 13 months worth of data. By the way, how many people in the room use Operations Manager in their environment? Wow, okay. So that's a good probably 60, 70% of the room. And just as a show of hands, how many people actually use SharePoint Performance Services, SharePoint Performance Services with Operations Manager? Okay, right, good. I'm in the right place then. There's also SharePoint integration now with Operations Manager. So with the 2012 and SP1, I can publish stuff straight to SharePoint. So I can put it in the same place that I'm putting all my other reports and data. So a very brief one. I'm not going to go dive into this because it looks like most of you already got this deployed in your environment. Very easy to deploy Operations Manager architecture. It's kind of on a very mature, if you look at the other products in the System Center, apart from Config Manager, it's the most mature product in the set now. And actually, I do think with the 2012 version, we finally got the architecture right. So we have this concept of pools that make it very easy to scale and very easy to scale on virtualization as well. It used to be that you used to have a big root management server. You'd stick it on a big, fat physical server. You know, but much easier to deploy and very quickly. We have gateway service for DMZs. We've got kind of all of the types of clients that I want that I talked about earlier on. So it's actually a good base architecture for doing that. So I'm going to jump in and do a really quick demo for you now. And I'm just going to dive into Operations Manager and just kind of talk about a couple of key elements of that. And again, I know that a lot of you have kind of seen this already, but you might not have seen some of the stuff that I'm going to show you here. Okay, can everybody see that right? Just a small little screen there, isn't it? Okay, so let's talk about that. So, you know, my guys, my consultancy team do a lot of work with customers around distributed application model. So a question for you guys that run operation manager in your environment, how many of you actually run distributed application models or build out distributed application models for your application? Now that's really interesting, probably 3 or 4 out of that 60 or 70% of the room. And one of the reasons is it can be difficult, you know, it's hard to see the end result. But actually, let me tell you this, distributed application modeling is one of the most powerful parts of the product if you get it right. Yeah, it really is the one that adds the biggest amount of value. And I'm going to try and kind of demonstrate that to you now. So what I've actually got in my environment here is a little BI app, actually, called CIO-Dash, which is an application that I'm putting together for my boss, obviously, because he's a very grumpy British CIO. So I'm just going to kind of show you what I've kind of done at the base end, because to build out those models, I've got to accurately build out my applications end-to-end and visualize them. So what I've actually got here, and let me just go down here a second and get rid of my pane down the bottom. So what I've actually got here is my CIO Dash application. Now, if I drill into it, what you can actually see is I've actually bucketed up a number of areas of my application. So I've got my services tier over here. And actually within my services tier, I've actually got back-end, front-end, middle tier. So I've actually created component groups that create those objects to make the distributed application model look logically like my application does. Not the way it is out of the box where you build it all nice in the designer and you publish it and then you get the single line with the bits up. I've actually built out the structure in here using multiple DAD models and groups. And actually I've got after a period of time you get templates to do this. Now if I look at the back end component within here, you can see that I've got my SQL databases that support my application layer. And I've got my DB engine. And actually, this particular application runs, you know, the main database is a SharePoint WSS database. And I've also got in here my SQL Server DB engine. Now, what's interesting here is I've played about with the way the stuff rolls up in here. So what I'm actually interested in from an availability point of view is whether or not my database is down. Yeah, for me, that is whether or not my application is available. I don't really care if SQL Server is running out of disk space. Now, that might sound a bit of a crazy thing for me to say, but actually from a plotting availability, it's whether my database is available. Running out of disk space or my SQL Server performing slowly are things I want to know about, but not things that I want to roll up from an availability. So I've got my SQL Server in there, and it does light up, but it doesn't roll up and affect my availability figures. It's just for an informational point of view, because I am going to want to go and fix that disk space, and I am going to want to go and fix those performance issues. So also as well in here, I've got my operating system back end. So again, what I've got in here is actually my physical Windows operating system that my SQL Server runs upon. And I've actually got my operations manager agent in here as well, because I want to understand that that's running, because I'm not monitoring the application if it's not. And, you know, what you can do in here as well is you could add storage in. So you might have seen in the keynote, and actually I've got a fabric monitoring session later this week where we're going to talk about managing storage layers, so bringing in the storage management element. And there's companies like NetApp, for example, and EMC that provide management packs. But if my SQL database sits on a storage element, I want to be able to, that to roll up. So I'm looking at the stack. I might also choose to put network devices in here, ones that SQL talk over, but only ones that are relevant to SQL. So all of the stuff that constitutes my SQL backend. I've then got a kind of similar one for the front end here, which is basically just websites. And again, that kind of drills down all the way to the operating system level. And then actually my middle tier for this application is actually SQL reporting services. So I've just added that in as well. Now, what I've actually got over here on the left as well is my client experience important. Now, this is one of the, again, another really important part of monitoring applications end-to-end, and one that people quite often forget when they're doing it. So what I've actually got is I've got a network PC, or you can actually use the new DSM service if you want to choose one of Microsoft's data center locations, and I'm running a synthetic transaction that's actually just making a call or running a small business workflow against my application front end. Now, the reason I've got that in here is if my application's running slow and I have a problem with it, I can understand what the business impact of that is, because I'm going to know what users and what regions are down. And again, from a capacity planning point of view, really useful data, being able to understand what the user performance is against that application from a region. Because you can do all the troubleshooting you want on the back end, but if it's actually network latency that's causing that problem, then you need to be able to understand that and visualize that from a front end point of view. So the final thing I've got in here is the network view. Now, not what you might think it is. I haven't got network devices in here. I'm actually using the best network management product known to man, or best network monitoring product known to man. Anybody know what that is? Ping, exactly. ICMP Ping, the best network monitoring tool ever invented, yeah? And probably the most widely used. So what I've actually got is I've got a little basic free, it's an OpsLogic ping script that I've got downloaded off the net, and I'm actually running a ping from that same location that I've got my desktop PC at, you know, the same one that I'm running the synthetic transaction. So I can understand if my synthetic transaction's running slow, is that caused by network latency? So I've got two comparable figures. And again, it's amazing how useful that information becomes, because most network guys don't monitor user to data center. They collect data around network device or hub to hub. So being able to kind of just put in some basic data like that and being able to ping back to a unit is a really useful function to do. Now, I'm just going to kind of demonstrate how effective this is, and then I'm going to run on and get into more of the data warehouse type stuff. So I'm actually just going to go in, and I'm just going to, just to show you, this is not smoke and mirrors. I'm doing a complete live demo on this. I'm actually just going to go in, and I'm going to kill one of my websites on here. So I'm actually just going to shut down my SharePoint website. To simulate, you know, a problem occurring within here. And hopefully, this is where we find, if the demo gods are really smiling on me in New Orleans, this fine sunny day. And they are. So what I'm actually going to do is I'm going to click on that little button there, which is the problem button there. So I spoke to, there we go. Let me just do one more quick refresh on that. And you have actually got at the top this problem path button. What it actually does is it grays out everything that's not an issue. So you can see straight away what I've actually got here is my end user transactions have gone down. So I understand now that each of my office locations is starting to have a problem. And the reason this is coming up first is I've got those transactions on a slightly tighter frequency than I've got my back end. But I understand the business impact. Now, what I could do here, and this is something we do quite a lot with customers, is I could actually send an email out to my end users to say, hey, IT have got a problem. We know there's a problem, and we're trying to fix that. And in fact, MSIT do something really similar, where they send out an automated email to end users to inform them that's a problem, and IT are fixing it. What we've done more recently is we've created a scorecard, which has the top 15 apps on it. And when we know that the users are not getting out of that app, we flash it up red and we say IT are looking at that problem and fixing that. So and all that kind of, all of those kind of things add to bringing up the user perception of IT within your organization. So final refresh on here. And what we should see is the exact root cause of the problem. So there we go. So I can actually see now that all of my locations are down. I can incidentally see that there's not a problem with the network layer, because my pings, which I've got various thresholds set on, are fine. And I can see it's services, front end, website, SharePoint. And actually, you know, as a first line guy, I mean, I could run an orchestrated run book off this, for example, that goes and finds out what the problem is, but as a first line support guy, I can just go into the kind of Health Explorer view in here, and I can just go in and find that particular monitor that's down. For example, website availability. I can view all of the other times that's happened over a period of time. Well, luckily this has just stopped today. so not time an issue, but if it'd been a recurring issue, I could view that in there. I can view the knowledge to why that might have stopped, and then very nicely, right down here at the bottom, I've got a little task that I can run, which will go ahead and kind of fix that website. So for me, that is the value of using distributed application models. And I know I've got a fluffy little demo application in here, and you guys will have much more complicated applications, but it's worth investing the time to do this, because for me, that's what operations manager is all about, doing proper end-to-end service distributed monitoring of applications. And again, if I just do that refresh there, I should be back nice and green. Timing, it's a wonderful thing. There we go. Ba-bum. So, that's kind of really, I just really kind of wanted to talk around the data, and we're going to come back at the end and kind of look at some of the visualization elements with that. So I'm just going to flick back to our presentation here a second. And just bear with me 2 secs. Okay, so let's, now we've kind of looked at that kind of collect stage. And let me just do that from there. Get my next demo up and running. Just bear with me 2 secs, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, so we've kind of looked at that collect step. We looked at how we're going to collect the data. So the measure element is SQL Server Analysis Services 2012. So as I mentioned, what SQL Server Analysis Services brings us when we're doing capacity planning is, in a word, OLAP, the ability to be able to kind of data mine, and also the ability to be able to run algorithms against that data that allow us to kind of look at what if trending type analysis. The publish element, which is the next step, is how am I going to publish that data once I've created my metrics. SharePoint Server 2013 is what we're going to kind of look at for that. And the forecasting is done by SQL Server Analysis Services 2012. So as I mentioned, what was interesting, we used to do the forecasting in SharePoint 2010 because PerformancePoint used to have a forecasting algorithm built into it, which was all the way back from the legacy days of it. But that's kind of gone in the new 2013, and it suddenly appeared a new forecasting algorithm within analysis services, so we're doing it down there. Building a self-service portal. So we have another number of elements within this, a number of different users, in fact. So we have our IT operators. Now, our IT operators are interested in default reports. So they use day-to-day reports, capacity planning reports, maybe looking at how the virtualized server estate is up. We can actually deliver those reports out of Ops Manager quite simply for them. They're going to be used to using the Ops Manager console, so, we can deliver that. There's a very good web console now with Ops Manager that you can kind of save reports into, or you can just give them access to SQL reporting services. Our IT analysts and our capacity planners, they're going to require something a little bit more custom. And that's where SharePoint comes in. So we will provide them with performance points, graphs and charts. IT managers kind of don't want anything as deep as those other two roles. So they're interested in kind of analysis of data. So again, we use SharePoint 2013 and performance points for that. And then finally, the executives kind of want, as we saw at the beginning, those kind of nice, fluffy, high-level operations manager dashboards. So the building blocks here, just to reiterate, are Operations Manager for Collection, SQL Server Analysis Services, and SharePoint Performance Point Services. Now let's take a quick look at the Ops Manager Data Warehouse. So it's a live data warehouse, and one of the interesting things about the Operations Manager is it inputs data into the data warehouse in real time, well, near real time, but it puts it at the same time it puts its data into the operational database. So this means that the actual metrics that we're collecting in there are bang up to date, or bang up to the last data collection point. It has multiple aggregates within it. So it has raw, hourly and daily aggregates. So we keep a certain amount of raw data within the Operation Manager data warehouse, if you want to get at that. We also do aggregation of that data. So on both an hourly basis, we aggregate the points up to give you an aggregate for that hour. And we do an aggregate on a daily basis. So for longer reporting, that can be very useful to be able to do that. Also from an aggregate point of view, we have alert, state, perf and events. So those are the kind of main data tables that we're getting. So the alert data is obviously the alerting about things in the environment. The more important ones to us from a capacity planning are the performance data that we're collecting, the event data, and also the state event data as well, because that can kind of be useful. You've got to choose the right aggregate as well. So a little gotcha here. So first and foremost, I went into a company the other week and they were actually running reports off the Operations Manager data, operational database. That's definitely a no-no, because in this organisation they had all these fluffy, nice charts, but actually nobody could open up the Ops Manager console. There was locks on the database, it was running incredibly slow. So always report straight off the Operations Manager data warehouse and always make sure you choose the right data, the aggregate as well. So a couple of kind of boring slides for me, but you know I need to kind of talk to them to set the state. So how does Operations Manager store state information? Well, we have this kind of managed entity state, which actually goes from vManaged entity all the way down to vMonitor service level objective. And these are actually where the data for state entities are stored. Now, actually, you have to really be careful with state as well, because state data is reporting on healthy instances of a particular object. So we have this concept in Operations Manager of a monitor that changes state. And sometimes you can find gaps in data when dealing with state because it's only kind of looking at a type of healthy state within that monitor. We then have our collection states. So this is how Operations Manager stores entities that it manages. And I've got some good more deeper speaker notes on this, but I want to get through to the demo as well today if you want to dive in a little bit. But again, this actually incorporates our service level objectives in here. So we can actually store our service level objective data all the way down to our performance rules. And then we have our fact tables. So this is our V alert table, which is kind of our raw table. Then we have V state hourly and V state hourly perf and V state hourly state. Finally, service level information. Now that's quite important for doing our service level type element of our reporting element that we got to do. So we have a whole set of tables within the database from service level agreement down to V service level objective that allow us to store the data for that. So also as well, you know, one of the reasons that I showed you the distributed application model is you can link distributed apps to contained entities as well. So, and if you want to do this, you can look in the vManaged entity table as well. And distributed apps have a managed entity table of %_service. And they inherited these from the Microsoft.SystemCenter.ServiceDesigner.Service. Now, you can use a stored procedure to extract the base type hierarchy of that, and that you look at the DBO managed.entity base type hierarchy state there. And you can use a stored procedure to extract the hierarchy from the database as well. Now, why would I want to link distributed applications to the data that I'm collecting? Well, you can kind of think of distributed applications as a domain, a data domain, if you like, for all of the information that pertains to an application. And I can then report on applications from a service point of view without having to go, I need that particular performance counter and that performance counter. And it's an end-to-end type view. So it's really a good thing to try and link those distributed applications. And again, if you create that distributed application in the first instance, your data will be collected by it. So SQL Server Analysis Services 2012, core component of SQL Server. And it hosts the thing that we're going to use in our reports, which is OLAP cubes, which is really important. It's designed for very large data volumes and very quick aggregation. I've not seen anything that's quicker in returning data than OLAP in the stack. And somebody might, you know, see me wrong. But actually, as a base for reporting, it's a very useful application. Also, as well, it contains some very good statistical algorithms, including forecasting, which is the one that we want to be able to kind of do that kind of what-if analysis. So cube components, we have measure groups within our OLAP cubes, which contain numeric values and calculated values. So, for example, time in a critical state might be something that we might want to look at. How long has that application been in a critical state? We also have dimensions, which are our attributes of the measures. And that might be a monitor object path. So once I've got my time in critical state as a measure group, I might want to look at actually that object path to that monitor. Might be my dimension. And these are pre-aggregated and optimized for slice and dice analysis. So the ability for me to drill in and split stuff different ways. SharePoint performance services. So why do we kind of use this when we're doing that? So why performance point? Well, it's a click once application. It's a very simple to use. How many people have actually played around with SharePoint 2013? I think it's actually got much simpler to use as it's kind of gone along. So it's a run once, click once application. It's embedded into SharePoint as well. It used to be a separate product back in SharePoint 2007. And actually originally came from the Microsoft ProClarity acquisition, for those who don't know. But it's now embedded into SharePoint, so it's a core part of SharePoint. And it is a slice and dice tool. It allows you to kind of select a data metric, for example, right-click on that data metric, and basically break that down by a particular dimension, entity, or fact. And again, as I mentioned, it's click once. It's very easy design for end users. And actually, we prefer using this to things like Power Pivot or Power View, which kind of look a little bit sexier, but actually they're load-in memory applications. So they're great for loading up small amounts of data, but not too good for pulling the kind of volumes of data that we're going to be pulling out of the data warehouse. So performance point components. So we have KPIs, key performance indicators. So this is where we can kind of set indicators against particular data metrics. For example, we might say available memory, anything over 90%. We might set that as a particular KPI. We can filter in performance point based on things we want to see or don't want to see. We then have a report. So we might take that KPI, embed that in a report. We also have dashboards as well. So we might take a number of different reports and embed them into a dashboard. We then might add some indicators into that. And then finally, we can take multiple reports and we can publish them in a scorecard. So it really is geared up for being able to kind of provide that kind of end-to-end visualization solution. So as I mentioned, just a quick walk through here, you know, the indicators where, and you can actually, there's out-of-the-box indicators that you can kind of use. There's even smiley faces. If you want a smiley face to be your indicator that something is good. KPIs compare the actuals against a goal and they display the indicators. Our scorecard then contains our KPIs against our dimensions, such as a computer or an application, for example. Did I just flip back on one there? Yeah. No, I flick back. We then have reports. Now, these could be graphs. You know, if you want a nice bar chart or pie chart or bar graph, for example. There could be data tables. There could even be Visio diagrams as well. There's a lot of Visio snap-ins now for SharePoint that actually access some of this particular data in there as well. Then we have filters that filter the data. And then finally, we have our dashboards that contains the filters and reports. So let's take a little bit of a demo of this. Okay, just take that down there. Okay. Okay, so this is Visual Studio, and actually let me just open a new instance of this. And the actual element that we're using is the BI Studio element of Visual Studio, which actually used to be called the Biz Studio. And actually what we're going to do is we're going to actually open a new project within here. And you can see that I've got a number of different kind of templates in here for integration services, report server, analysis services. So actually we want to start up an analysis services multiple dimension and data mining project. So first thing that we're actually going to do is we're going to create a OLAP cube for our particular data source. So I'm going to go into here and I'm going to create a new project from within OLAP that we've got in here. New OLAP cube. And we get a little wizard that comes up that actually goes through the OLAP cube wizard. And actually, we're just going to generate the tables within a data source within here. Yes. In fact, I'm actually, bear with me 2 sec, you are correct. Things it was going too well here. Right, let me go back because I have got one that I've done earlier. Right, okay. Just bear me a sec. Okay, so this is actually one that I've done earlier in here. So let me just talk through what I actually went through and done. What did there was actually create an OLAP cube based on a number of dimension tables that are in here. So if I look at my performance cube here and I look at the measure groups that I put in here, you can actually see that I'm using a number of different managed entity types. I've got perf daily counters that execute average value, max value, min value, sample count, standard deviation, vperf daily count. I've then got some KPI metrics within here. I've got my vManaged entity table, and I've got my vView performance rule instance. Okay. And if I go back into my project, what I've actually got in here... is just bear me a sec. Okay. So what I'm actually going to do now I've actually got my OLAP cube created is I'm actually going to go in and we're going to actually go into SharePoint and create some reports on there. So for those who haven't seen it, this is actually SharePoint 2013. So once we've actually worked out and done our particular OLAP cube within here, we can actually just go into here and we can choose our performance point section. And what I'm actually going to do within here is I'm actually going to create a new item. And I'm going to go into performance point. I'm going to go into the, in fact, I'll go in through the dashboard designer in here. And you should see it's already picked up a data connection in there, which is my all raw data that I've got in there. Let's make that a little bit bigger. And I can go into my performance point content, and you can see that this is where I actually have my multiple different levels that I've got around kind of KPIs, dashboards, analytical charts. So actually, what I'm actually going to do in here is I'm going to create a new KPI. Well, in fact, I'm going to create a new KPI. And we'll do a blank KPI in here. And then within this KPI, I can actually create, and if I do, I can actually create an actual target with an indicator that I want to look at in that KPI. So if I go back, I'll just show you kind of one that I set up earlier here for available megabytes. And you can actually see within here that I've got a target around available megabytes of 128 up at the top. And then I can actually change the best, the threshold one, the threshold two, and the worst threshold. So I can play around with the scoring patting indicator in here as well. So other things that I've got in here, I've done one here for CPU as well, where I've got the actual, the target, and the fixed versions. And for CPU, I'm just doing the 90% CPU value in that. And again, I've just done a best, a worst, and a middle threshold on that as well. I can also as well create a report, and a report would, as I mentioned, will actually contain different types of elements that I've got on my side. I'll just wait for that to come up. Yes. Yeah. No. So what we've actually got here, and let me just go back and show you this. I'm actually creating a queue which is based on the tables that are in Operations Manager. So if I look in here, if you look in here, I've got my that vManaged entity is actually a table within Operations Manager. So I'm mapping the table in Operations Manager to my cube, and then actually what I'm doing is I'm mapping the fields, and then I'm processing the cube. So based on the Operations Manager tables, yeah. No, it doesn't. No. So Operations Manager is a straight SQL Server database. Yeah, it's a data warehouse. It doesn't have its own OLAP cube. Service Manager has an OLAP cube, but Operations Manager doesn't. And actually, if you think about Service Manager has an OLAP cube for doing things like looking at queues, for example, that have alerts and indicators in it, for doing chargeback reporting. But actually, there's no way of doing cubing performance data within Operations Manager. So the ideal situation would have been that we have data going into that cube in Service Manager. So what we're doing here is actually creating a cube on top of the Ops Manager data warehouse, and then we're dashboarding off that cube. Yeah. And actually, you know, we're looking at things like performance rule, instance IDs. And then actually, you know, what we do once we've actually done that cube, we get a number of different data elements within that cube here that allow us to actually map that individual element. So going back to our project here. In fact, that was the one that was in there. Once we've actually got that data into the cube, it's very easy for us to then go in and actually create charts like this. So this is actually a chart that I pulled together, which contains different elements of data that I pull from that OLAP cube into my dashboard. And then finally, you know, once I've got a number of different reports together, I can actually put together an end scorecard, which contains multiple different reports. So the trick is to take your data elements, create your reports, and then create your scorecards based on your reports. And then, of course, we can then kind of publish that up to SharePoint. So if I go back into my SharePoint view within here. And I go into my dashboards. Ooh. So there's a typical end dashboard that I can now go and publish the link to my boss. And what this actually contains is a scorecard report that has my available megabytes based upon a KPI target. It has my CPU with my target, and then I've got a dashboard which shows the performance on individual servers. And again, because this is a BI tool and it's based on that slice and dice analysis, I can actually drill down to things like date and time within there. So it has that capacity to be able to kind of drill down to another element. Now, I'm just going to quickly show you what that might look like together in an end-to-end dashboard. So this is a typical type kind of dashboard, if I get it on the right one there. Just bear me a sec. This is a typical dashboard that we kind of end up showing to end users, which contains a number of key elements. So this is kind of what I've put together for my rather unhappy CIO based on the data that I've collected. So this is actually a Visio snap-in for Operations Manager. Now what this is you remember at the beginning when we looked at that distributed application model and we looked at the end users logging into the application. What I've simply done is I've used that Visio point to hook directly into that data metric in the operation data warehouse. So very top level, I've got a user availability dashboard for my boss. I've then got an alert dashboard within here. In fact, let me just go back to that one there. Just to show you some of the dashboards that are available out of the box with Operations Manager. There we go. So this is a service level dashboard that's available out of the box with Operations Manager that's based on service level tracking objects that I've created. So you remember that distributed application model that I created? Well, I can create service level tracking elements on there that allow me to do a very high level. And from my boss's point of view, you know, that's all he needs to see. You know, he's got the application, he's got whether or not the SLA is being met. Obviously, we would like it to always look like that for our boss. But again, it's as much information that he wants to need. Now, from a business analytics, we flip from the Ops Manager Data Warehouse into the OLAP Cube. So if we look at here as an analytics, and I'm just going to go back to the note forecast and put on memory. This is some performance point metrics that we've kind of put together. And these ones are actually, for those of you that have got SharePoint 2010, this is actually in SharePoint 2010. I wanted to kind of show you both today, just for those who kind of have moved over. And as I think there was only a handful of people said they were using SharePoint 2013. And what I've actually got here is a dashboard which shows me my memory against a particular application. So you remember that I was talking about earlier about linking the distributed application models to the actual data. Well, this is linked to that distributed application model that I've got in my data warehouse. And I can see my memory committed bytes. Now, using that forecasting algorithm, I can say, well, okay, what's my data going to look like in, say, 24 months' time? Now, what I can clearly see on this chart, based on the data that I'm collecting, is that for this particular application, if I don't do anything by Q4 of, say, 2014, I'm actually going to be running out of available memory in there. So I can start to make decisions. Maybe I move some capacity from here to there. Maybe add more service to that. And again, because it's got that slice and dice type nature that you only get with OLAP and you only get with that, I can actually drill down to particular alert details and kind of drill down into from that chart status. And again, drill down onto individual elements within that. Also, as well, from a KPI point of view, to show you what that looks like in 2010, I do think SharePoint 2013 is a much slicker view. It's got a much more functionality. But for those who use SharePoint 2010 as well, just to show that it's not just something that you get in the new platform, there's a KPI chart that we've got that I've created. That shows that KPI data against individual metrics that I put in there. And again, this is tied to applications or servers. And so, in a nutshell, what I'm providing here is I'm providing operational dashboards for my first line support people. I'm providing service owner, business owner dashboards for people who own the application. I'm providing executive dashboards. Plus, I'm providing capacity planning business analyst reports for those particular users. So, and the main point is that all of those particular views are looking at that same base distributed application. So I'm not getting 50 views of different types of applications. Everybody's looking at the same base data. And that's kind of really how you kind of go about putting that together. And I've got much more notes. It's really a lot of stuff for me to kind of show you within the very limited time, but there's a lot more notes that I'll make available within the PowerPoint deck if people want to get into the nitty-gritty and all the SQL queries and elements within there as well. Just to keep some of you SQL diehards happy, I just wanted to kind of show a couple of the SQL queries that we've got available, or some of the ones that you should be kind of looking at. So I think somebody had a question there. Some of the things about linking up the data. So I've actually just got in here. If you want to select from DB managed entity hierarchy, I mentioned that in one of the slides. What that will actually do is that will show you the entity type and show you the hierarchy for that particular entity. Again, if you want to look at the monitor SLOs, and I'm just going to kind of run that. I've got the SQL query here for running against that. Now, that will show me the SLAs that I've got, the SLA name, the SLO availability, what the management pack version is, the goal of that SLA, and that's the SLA that's contained within the operations manager data warehouse. I've also got the same for my performance service level objectives. And again, these will show, I've got one in here, which is CPU. They'll show the rule ID, the aggregation method, what the threshold it is that I'm using. If you want to look at just generally performance rules. Okay. I think I just didn't do that on there. I'm kind of missing. Show you that on the monitor. Again, for the monitor on there, these are all my monitors types, my GUID, my name, my top level entity row. I can also look at the name of that, the default name, created type, all the row information. So all the data that you need is actually in that particular database table. And some other ones. And I'll make some of these available, and this will help you kind of when you're creating these reports and doing these queries. So finally, back to my deck, and I just want to talk to you about... So some of that to you, you might think, well, that looks really good stuff, but looks like a hell of a lot of work for me. Yeah, and, you know, for those who are into their SQL and into their Visual Studio, it's definitely worth spending the time in going through and doing that. There are a couple of third-party MPs that are available that I just want to talk to you about. So OpsLogic are a company that make a lot of management packs for Operations Manager for things like BlackBerry, Swift, for example, and they've just released a capacity management pack that does that business service component capacity management. And this is actually a capacity management solution that's within the operations manager console. And it allows you to look at trends over a period of time and set warnings if something actually goes over a trend. So rather than just running a port, visually looking at it, you can actually set alerts of when things go over a particular KPI or trend. So for example, it can tell you, the report that I showed you that showed the database running out of space, that kind of shows you visually looking at it, but it doesn't really alert you. So it really does add an extra element to that. It's a default management pack in Operations Manager. It allows you to configure elements within Operations Manager, and you can alert when particular capacity and trends are meeting a particular threshold. And again, that's the kind of view in the Operations Manager console. And that's kind of looking at some virtual machine data over a four-month period, and you can view the current values. So for those who kind of want a nice quick fix, you can get and do that. It has an Operations Manager dashboarding capability, so you can create dashboards that contain multiple capacity planning data. So very nice. And also Veeam. How many people in the room run VMware on the back end as a virtualization platform? So how many people run Veeam currently? How many people out of you are running the new V6 version? Okay, there's some really good capacity planning reports in the new version 6 that allow you to kind of look at certain capacity planning elements that we've talked about today around that, and they allow you to solve those kind of problems fast. So definitely, if you are running VMware and you want to manage VMware effectively with Operations Manager, definitely the Veeam's the good pack to be looking at. And definitely the V6 version, if you're looking at capacity planning, add some new elements. So just finally wrapping up, if you want to keep that CIO happy, never going to keep mine happy, I'm afraid, use capacity planning as a core business function. And that allows you, if you do that, you should avoid unexpected surprises in your environment. And you should make fact-based investment decisions rather than gut-based investment decisions. So keep IT in the know. Visualize as much as you can back to IT. Give them their nice plasma screen. Show them what's going on. And the key steps, if you remember, that we talked about are collect that data with a tool, measure that data, publish that data, and then forecast on that data. Okay, so definitely please take the time to download some of the data sheets and resources on that. Please feel free to contact me if you want to get hold of any of the SQL queries. We have got a white paper that kind of walks all the steps on creating those OLAP cubes. If you want to have a go at doing that yourself, please preview and do the evaluation steps. And, you know, if you kind of want more sessions like this and it's been useful today, then, you know, please kind of vote and say nice things to me. And if I see you later in the bar, I might buy you a drink. Again, channel 9, if you want to review back. I actually did this session at MMS as well, for anybody who's interested, and we had a more detailed kind of demo session in it as well. So if anybody kind of wants to go into that. And please complete the evaluation and win a very nice Xbox 360. And have a great week, guys. And thank you very much for coming down and spending the time today.